the Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids. Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
Greetings from Dick's Sporting Goods Park, where temperatures are dropping as fall prepares to make way for winter. In the coming weeks, we'll delve into the 2017 archives and bring you the season which has gone before. We'll also keep you updated on player movement and, of course, the search for a new head coach. Last week, we spoke of what that new coach may bring or may need to bring. And Richard Fleming, your thoughts triggered reaction.
Yes.
It is good when we get this feedback.
And those that listen to the podcast, and some actually disagreed. How dare you?
How dare you? Fall in line, conform.
Exactly.
There were those that disagreed on my approach
that the side needs to be more attacking in order to be more successful, in order to be more entertaining. And there are those that, quite rightly, enjoyed what 2016 brought us, and not only in terms of the results, but in terms of the manner of those results. But you can't get away with continually being one-dimensional. I think the Rapids were in 2016. And I've always said, and you heard me say it before, if you don't concede goals, you'll not lose games. But if you don't score goals, then you're not going to win. And it's about winning. It's not about not losing. And also, as a side, you have to evolve. Mm-hmm. Teams will work you out. And teams began to work the Rapids out towards the end of 2016. And if you over-rely on one area of strength, then you better be sure that that area of strength is on its game every single week. In other words, if the defensive wall has an off day, what have you got to fall back on? And again, I've said this before, I kind of liken it to a tennis player with the big serve, a big serve that dominates matches. And that's great when it works, but what is there to fall back on when the big serve is matched by a big serve at the other end? Same in this sport. What do you do as a quick player if your opponent is quick? What options do you have as a team which likes to defend if the other team has a defense first on their mind? There has to be a balance.
Yeah.
And you need to be, I think, good enough to adapt to each opponent, each occasion, each circumstance. You also need to have greater quality in those areas of influence. And we've spoken about it in the past on the podcast. That means a number 10 and a decent number 9. And I'll say this again. If you want to grow the sport, you've got to entertain. You have to entertain. There is artistry, of course there is, in defending and preventing the stylish attacking sides from breaching the defences. But goals are what grab the headlines. That's what grabs attention and will ultimately draw in the fans. And I recall the buzz going around Dick's Sporting Goods Park back towards the end of 2013, the 5-1 demolition of a Seattle Sounders side towards the end of that season. And fans left the ground, A, having seen a win, but B, having been royally entertained with a goal fest. So, you know, I dare say fans would be happy sticking with what appeared in 2016, nicking games here and there, but that approach will only get you so far. And it's great while the results are going in your favour. And let's not forget, the Rapids had a little bit of luck going their way in 2016, inside of the post, penalties, decisions going in their favour that don't always go. But that brand of soccer will wear on folks when those 1-0 scorelines go against you. So, yeah, it was wonderful to get that feedback, but I'm still right.
See? Out there in listener land, you interact with us on social media, and we respond. It sparks debate, discussion, which is great. So keep on doing it at Fleming Sport, at Connor McGahee. Just one in. Love to hear from you, and we will respond. As always, even if it says, Fleming, I hate you, and Connor, you're the worst, I'll always respond with a smiley face. And so to our review of the year, which began in January with the arrival of two homegrown players and the return of a first team filled with hope.
By the time players reported for pre-season camp on January the 23rd, new names and old faces had already been added to the roster. Two of the new names were not new to the club, Courtney Ford and Ricardo Perez. They signed homegrown contracts 6 days into the new year.
We knew this time would come. We didn't know how far along I could come in my development. We didn't know how ready I'd be. We knew that I would get in here eventually. Mm-hmm. But it's nice that they've both been on the same page in communication, so that when the time came, it was a very smooth transition, you know. So it wasn't very much work, because we put in a lot of work last year after my sophomore mm-hmm. season. So after this year, we all knew it was coming, and it was a smooth transition. I knew that I would probably have the capability of coming in this year after the year that I had. But I was very focused on the season at hand, and I tried not to get my mind bottled up and mixing that kind of thing. But after, I'd probably say, to be honest, after the Clemson goal, I was stoked. And I remember coming home, and I was like, I want to play at the next level, and I want to do this now, and I don't want to wait. But that's when I knew that I was ready and that I wanted to come to the next level.
And now, do you think you can make the squad in 2017 personally?
100%. I'm willing to put in the work, and yeah, yes.
It's an amazing feeling, just having my family here, having my friends, being able to share this moment. It's amazing. Like you said, it's what I've been working for since I was little, and being able to make this happen and now move on to bigger things, it's amazing. So over the summer, I came to train with the first team, and I did well, and it was pretty much just coming in every day and trying to prove yourself and trying to make yourself known. I mean, they already know me, but trying to put myself into that position where mm-hmm. I am today.
True.
So I think me coming to train over the summer was a big help, and then having a good 4 seasons in college really helped me.
Sure.
So after I was done with my 4 seasons, then I had a good feeling because of the summer training, because of the work that I put in and what I've produced, and I had a good feeling that something good was going
to
happen.
A week after 2 homegrown players were added to the ranks, LA hosted the first 2 rounds of the MLS Super Draft. The Rapids' first pick was Sam Hamilton, a teammate of Ford's at the University of Denver, and a young man from nearby Evergreen who grew up watching his hometown team.
I've been a supporter my whole life, and just to be so close to home, near coaches that have supported me and helped me grow as a player and a person, for them to have the opportunity to watch me at a local field is cool. And also just to play for a team that I looked up to, with guys that I looked up to growing up, is just, it's crazy. It's a dream come true.
Hamilton was selected in the first round and was the 15th overall pick. He would be the only one to sign a contract with the Rapids. Liam Callahan was taken with the 24th overall pick before, 4 days later, the names of Peggy Gatcher and Jaime Siage were called in rounds 3 and 4. Siage spent 2017 with the Rapids USL affiliate Charlotte Independence. Gatcher saw time at PDL club Cincinnati Dutch Lions, while Callahan was with KW United FC, also of the PDL, and more recently signed with Syracuse Silver Knights of the Major Arena Soccer League for their 2017-18 season. When the players began pre-season back in January at the indoor facilities at CU Boulder, there was a face familiar to many. The club's leading all-time scorer, Connor Casey, had been named an assistant coach.
I feel very fortunate that there was an opening at the same time that I retired, and had some conversations with him and went through, you know, the process of thing if it would be a good fit for the club, and everyone agreed that it was. And now it's just, you know, to work, a lot of learning for myself, and integrating myself in the group and trying to pass, you know, my experiences and knowledge on.
Casey joined the coaching staff. On the playing front, another MLS veteran was arguably the surprise signing of the offseason. A free agent, Alan Gordon, opted for the Rapids.
I had some conversations with LA, and the terms weren't exactly what I wanted them to be. You know, there was a couple of teams that were interested in me, and so I had to sit down and think about it for a while. I had a lot of conversations with people. I have some good buddies on this team, and I think this team is on an upward trend. You know, and playing against them last year in the playoffs, I enjoyed their playing style. It fits me and the personnel here, and so I think it was a good fit.
Alan Gordon there. Now, before the month of January was out, Ghanaian midfielder Bismarck Ejiofor would sign from the Norwegian club Strømsgodset. January was a month in which the players became reacquainted with the rigours of preparing for a new season. February would see them in warmer surroundings in California and Arizona.
January will move to February next week, and the start of preseason games, including a return to the Desert Diamond Cup in Tucson, Arizona. First, though, to the big news surrounding the club, and that's the search for a new head coach. This is what Porig Smith told Vic Lombardi on Altitude 950 last week.
We're very close. We're in the final stages, and I think that's what we're very, very excited about right now. I think if we take this back, you know, we spoke at the very outset that we were going to conduct the most comprehensive search that this club ever has done to try and identify not just the right coach, but the right person for this club to bring us forward. There's no doubt we've left no stone unturned here. The very first factor was ensuring that we identified a coach who shared the same vision and philosophy that we do at the highest level. And I think that was an absolute non-negotiable for us. Now, there's a lot of good talent. There's good talent here in the US, both at the MLS level and in the college ranks. And we interviewed a number of those guys and we saw what that talent was. But we wanted to be true to our commitment to make this a global search. So we went out, we went to Europe, we looked in South America, Oceanica. You know, we really conducted a very thorough search to ensure that we got the right guy. I got the right person there. One of the things that we did was to take a three-pronged approach to this, really. We enlisted a consulting firm in the UK to look at style of play, so to identify a number of coaches that they felt played and executed a style that was in keeping what we were looking for as a club. We then we're very fortunate here at the Rapids that we're obviously part of a much larger sporting group in KSE, and we used the KSE Sports Analytics Department to really go through a huge number of coaches, well into the tens of thousands, in fact. And they have very, very bespoke or very proprietary data information that we can look at to try and analyze which coaches have performed well across multiple clubs, coaches that have, you know, put teams out there that have been successful, but also scored a lot of goals, so good attacking coaches. And then we also looked at coaches that we've seen them. We've seen their teams play, and we've liked other teams play, and they've got aspects that we would like to mirror here at the Rapids and that share our philosophy. And we brought those coaches into the reckoning as well. So we used all this as a filtering system to bring us down from a very large number down to a much smaller, relatively smaller number. And then we began our due diligence and interview process. And it was really a fantastic process. We picked up something from all of the coaches we met, and I think it's put us in a position now where we've really narrowed it down and we know who we want, and I'm very happy to say that we're in the final stages of that. You're going to see some substantial changes in a lot of different areas. First and foremost, there will be a number of changes to the roster. I mean, we're looking at least 9, 10, 11 changes to that roster. So that's a substantial overhaul. We're helped there with some of the dead money, some of the cleaning up of the roster and the salary cap that we've done over the last year, which will give us some additional flexibility there. But not only that, you know, we're making some important changes on the front office side as well, bringing in some really, really top-class talent from that side. We're also bringing in a new head of sports science. And then, obviously, crucially, we're bringing in the new head coach.
Richard Fleming rejoins me. Where are we with the search of the new head coach?
Well, I think, as Porik was saying there, we are close. Sometime, although a time frame has not been given, I would suggest that sometime this month, the month of November, would be an ideal moment. Bearing in mind, the new person would need to get in ahead of the various drafts, the expansion, the waiver, the re-entry drafts, all of those that Major League Soccer has. And also then prepare, because it'll come around very quickly, the Combine, end of December, early January, and then the Super Draft, which is back in Philadelphia in, what is it, middle of January time.
Yeah.
So I would expect towards the end of this month or within this month, I think we'll get some kind of indication as to which direction the Rapids are going to head.
You know, everyone wants names that they can talk about. Are there any names in the frame?
Well, I've been in this game long enough, and like predicting the
names,
outcome
we have frame,
of games,
we have game, we're just rhyming sensation.
Yes, I think
so. Like, the answer is no. You're not going
to
give
the answer is, you know, I've tried to predict results. People say to me, "So what's the score going to be?" And you know, it's a bit of a mug's game. And I think like trying to predict. We've seen the names that have been bandied around. We've seen some of the names that are out there. We are not privy to that information, so I imagine, like everybody else,
it's funny because there is a lot of fans who literally know things before I know them. I'm the last person to be told anything.
Yes, my son knows three of the players we're signing.
No, I know exactly, James, and he's not telling anybody, but he knows.
He's keeping tight lip. But no, I think we'll find out in due course. It's part of the cat and mouse game, isn't it? Is who's it going to be? Could it be that? There's speculation about, and it's great that people are talking about that next chapter, that next step for the Rapids, and we said it last week, and we've said it in weeks past. This next appointment is going to be very, very important, laying the foundations to take the Rapids on to that next level, that next step. Bearing in mind, you know, the league is continually growing, both in terms of personnel, both in terms of quality, and both in terms of simply the, just the teams that are taking part, with LAFC joining in 2018. So this is a big appointment for the Rapids, and I think they've taken their time, they've been patient, and yeah, as I said, I think they'll make the announcement in due course.
It was also fascinating for me that Porig said that 9, 10, maybe 11 players could be changed out of this roster from 2017. That's a lot.
It is. It is a significant overhaul, but possibly not entirely surprising when you consider and you take the different elements. You know, those that are going to be out of contract. Kevin Doyle, of course, is one that is retired. You're going to have those that are surplus to requirements. But also on top of this, Connor, is that this is a Rapid side that was built, personnel-wise, was built to be defensive.
Yep.
Now, if this is a side that is going to go to a 4-4-2, a 5-3-2, a 3-5-2, a more attack-minded approach, you can't just expect those players that were defensive in the past, and that is their style of play. You can't just expect them to suddenly say, well, I tell you what, I'd like you to be more attacking this week. That's not who I am.
Okay, switch on.
And so I think what you will see is that the style of play that the Rapids want to play, the style of play that they are hoping to play, will have to kind of merge with the type of player that is brought in. And that will mean that, you know, the type of player that worked for the Rapids of 2016 and summer 2017 will be shipped out. But that is it's a big number. It's a number that when you start looking at almost a third of the roster, that takes time to bed in. And I think where the Champions League will help, that Champions League game in kind of middle of February, that will allow that team to get the competitive juices flowing before the league season starts in early March.
One player who stood out in 2016, but not so much this year, was Shkelton Gashi. Porig Smith had an honest assessment of his 2017.
We've been very disappointed with the output from Gashi this year. I think if you look back over the last number of years, going back into his time in Switzerland, he had back-to-back seasons of 19 goals and 21 goals, player of the year in Switzerland. Comes into the Rapids in 2016, 9 goals, 4 assists. And then obviously in the playoffs, that wonder strike against LA, which led to our famous victory on penalties there, which we all remember. So we were very excited about the prospect of Gashi with a year under his belt here in America, coming in and really performing to an even higher level in 2017. Unfortunately, you know, he didn't execute against the off-season program that we had put in place for him. So he came into camp out of shape, you know, quite a bit out of shape, unfortunately. And that then ultimately led to these niggling injuries that we saw throughout the course of the year. And he was never able to just quite get over them. He would try and come back, get a few games, do well, but then would pick up something else again. And ultimately it led to the situation toward the end of the season where, you know, the coach decided not even to suit him up for that last game in Seattle. So that was very disappointing. But to be honest, I've had a number of very frank discussions with him over the last couple of weeks, and he's really reiterated his desire to be here and to turn that performance around. So he's committed to putting in a very, very strong off-season, coming back in the best shape of his career for our preseason program. And then hopefully what we'll see is the normal Shkelton Gashi out there on the field next year. And we all know when he's in good shape and when he's playing well, he's a real impact player in this league, and that's what we expect.
We know the Gashi of 2017 was not what we had hoped for or expected. Now we know why.
Yes, as we heard from Porik there, and it was a rather, as you say, an honest assessment. He didn't come back fully prepared from pre-season. And now, you know, used to be in the past that players would have their off-season, they'd relax, they'd switch off, they'd kind of turn away from the day-to-day rigors, and they would use pre-season as a way to get fit for the season. You know, the game has evolved, the game has moved on, so players are now given an off-season routine. This is to keep the fitness levels at a certain level. And then when you come back to preseason, we're going to get the sharpness, we're going to get that cohesion with teammates and new teammates, and you'll be ready for the season and be able to kind of hit the ground running. So I think ultimately his off-season activities didn't prepare him for the preseason. And then we had those niggling little injuries, and we think it was calf injury, hamstring injury, Achilles injury, lower leg issues. And I think that was because he didn't come back fully fit. It is fantastic to hear that they've had honest, clear the air talks, and that Gashi is wanting to be here. He's wanting to be better than he was in 2017. And no professional wants to sit on the bench. No professional wants to not be in the 18. And when you've got the profile and the ability that Gashi has, you want to be out there showing it. And, you know, at his best, he showed in 2016 that he's a player that the Rapids need. The Rapids are better when he's playing and when he's on his game. So I'm hoping that 2017, not only for the Rapids, but for Gashi, was a blip, and we can see him coming back, you know, full tilt in 2018.
You are listening to the Rapids Podcast, presented by Advocare. We'll be right back.
Colorado Rapids 2018 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss out on the action as the Rapids take the field for 17 home matches at Dick's Sporting Goods Park next season.
And it's Marlon Hairston in the blink of an eye. They're back on level terms. This is some contest.
Go to coloradorapids.com to find out about the exclusive season ticket member benefits, including meet the team party, game day experiences, and stadium discounts. Go to coloradorapids.com.
Welcome back to the Rapids Podcast. It's time now for Parting Shot. This part of the Rapids Podcast brought to you by Luna Sewell Tequila. Made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques, Luna Sewell Tequila, one sip and you know. Richard Fleming, what do you know?
I will mention New York Red Bulls and Juicy Altidore. Well, the New York Red Bulls fans, to be more Pacific, to be more specific.
You know, I hate it when people are not Pacific enough. They're very Atlantic, and
yes.
I don't like that.
This is the story, and people may have been, maybe aware of this, is the story that the barrage of abuse hurled at Juicy Altidore, Toronto FC striker, who was the target of large sections of supporters inside Red Bull Arena on Monday in the playoffs. He, and to be fair, US international and Toronto teammate Michael Bradley, the subject of chants due to them being a part, of course, of that US national team that failed to qualify for the World Cup. Altidore, though, came in for special treatment, including accusations that he is less patriotic because he doesn't put his hand over his heart for the national anthem. And there's one quote from Altidore that stands out. He's quoted as saying, "Coming off the field, there's a fan standing a foot away from me telling me I have no idea what it's like to represent this country, that I didn't die for this country, and I don't deserve to be in this country because I don't put my hand on my heart and that I don't sing the national anthem." Toronto head coach Greg Vanney has subsequently questioned the security around the team benches, with fans allowed, he says, to get far too close and then hurl the kind of abuse that they would neither think of doing or even get away with were it on the street outside. And that, Connor, is my issue. I've never been one who feels that it's acceptable to behave in a manner that would not be deemed acceptable anywhere else in society. And don't give me the, it's the passion, it's the excitement, I got carried away by the moment. No excuses. Because there are lines that you know, as a civil human being, not to cross, whatever your surroundings. Paying to attend an event does not then give you the right to act in a thuggish manner that you wouldn't even deem acceptable on the outside. You're big and brave inside those four walls because you just assume that the athlete, and we see it in other sports as well, the athlete is not going to react or not going to be able to react, and you'll assume there's no repercussions. It's something, I've got to say, which is creeping into the game here, and it needs to stop. And we've got personal experience of this in 2017. The Rapids had a similar experience at Sporting Kansas City.
Tim Howard.
A fan was able to get in the face of Tim Howard as he was leaving the field. Howard, on that occasion, reacted. And as we know, coupled with other events during the game, he was slapped with a 3-game ban. It's not a good look for the stadium, for the individuals, or for the league. And so the league and individual clubs need to take a long, hard look at security and fan access. Affording fans that up-close and personal experience is wonderful. It's fantastic. But it comes with a responsibility. And you're always running the risk of some loudmouth allowing the moment to get the better of them, especially if they've had a beer or two. That fan package can seem attractive on the surface, but more people watching that unfold, and now with this Toronto experience, reading about it in the aftermath, is going to be more damaging than the experience itself. It's going to be more damaging to the league and to the brand. Fans who think that that's the way to act or to somehow behave are stuck in the past. Yeah, go ahead, scream and shout for your team. But when that passion spills over into antisocial behavior, When you act in a way that could otherwise result in a confrontation or arrest outside of the arena, then I would expect stadium authorities to step in. Players will come in for comments based on their performance. That's fine. But when it becomes personal, you've crossed the line. The league, of course, has a don't cross the line initiative. A line was crossed here and nothing was done about it. That's not good enough.
Well, after another hiatus, Dylan Gannon rejoins us here to give us a little insight on something that should make all of us feel a little optimistic heading into 2018. Hello, Dylan.
Connor, I've missed you.
I know, I've missed you too.
And I've missed Rich a little bit too, but
not as much as me.
Correct. I mean, we're being honest here. It's the holiday season. Have to be honest. But again, as we do move towards that holiday season, it is time to start being thankful for things that we have. And for Rapids fans and us, I think we should all be thankful for what we have here at the goalkeeper position.
I mean, it's hard not to be thankful when you have Tim Howard and Zach McMath back there, obviously.
And you took the words right from me. I was watching the Vancouver and San Jose game last week, and they brought up the fact that David Oustead is no longer in net for them, and it seems that his days are numbered up north.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about because he was an all-star back in 2015, been mentioned as potential goalkeeper of the year candidate as well.
Right, and then remembering that all of this made me start thinking, which is almost never a good thing. We never like it when I start thinking. But this time, it actually wasn't super crazy and super random. So I'm just going to list some names here for you, and you tell me what they all have in common.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, I'm listening.
All right, listen. We'll start with David Oustead. We're going to move on to Bill Hamid, Brian Rowe, David Bingham, Clint Irwin.
All goalkeepers in Major League Soccer.
Close enough. I mean, that's a B-plus for effort. Good
Thank
job there.
Thank you very much. I'll take a B-plus.
Yes, they are all goalkeepers in MLS, but they are also all goalkeepers who seemingly had a starting role all but locked down, only to be benched this season. Mm-hmm. And that isn't even including Steve Clark, who essentially wasn't going to have a starting role in Columbus in 2017. So he ends up going on to play in Denmark and then takes over Bill Hamid's role in D.C., and then Columbus ends up starting rookie Zach Steffen, and now people want him starting for the U.S. Mets national team. But wait, there's more.
There's more?
One more.
Oh, goodness.
Chicago decided not to start Matt Lampson in their final regular season game against Houston, which they lost 3-0. Then they throw him back out there for the knockout round game against New York Red Bulls, and they get pummeled.
Yep.
Pummeled at home. Now, it seems now that there is a ridiculous amount of turnover slash uncertainty in the league when it comes to goalkeepers. But for the Rapids, you have to feel very confident with whoever steps in to protect the net.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy when you start listing name after name of people who seem to be surefire starters, and now they're rarely getting any playing time, especially when you look at Hamid, Rowe, Bingham. All three of them had involvement with the men's national team in 2017, but like you said, if you're on that field, you feel confident who's behind you making those saves.
It has to mean so much to that back four, and it must take some, you know, I shouldn't even say some, a large amount of pressure off of them. We all know about Tim's history over in England with Everton and Manchester United, then, of course, with the national team, but you cannot tell me that Zach McMath is not a top 10 goalkeeper in MLS, if not even higher on that list, top five potentially. And the best part about all of this is that they're both insanely competitive, and that forces each and every one of them to get better.
You know, that's the beauty of it all. You should see these guys in training, which you do on a daily basis.
Yeah.
It's not for you. That's for
right.
Everyone who's listening.
The fans.
Which you can come out and watch training if you want. It's usually, you know, you can come sit up on the hill with us. That's an invitation, by the way. But in training, every little thing is a competition between the two of them, and you'll love to see that. Oftentimes, this type of competition can have people end up butting heads with each other, or the relationship isn't quite there or goes sour. But the relationship between Tim and Zach is something special, and it's been that way from the beginning.
It really has, and this goes back to when, you know, Zach went over to, you know, train with Everton back in his early years, so they got to know each other there. But they are just so close to one another, and that is really rare to find in a lot of cases. It does go unnoticed, and I think this relationship between Tim and Zach does go unnoticed. Again, here are two of the best keepers in MLS who continue to not only make each other better, but the entire team better. And that is the reason why both Tim and Zach served as the captains this year.
You, sir, couldn't be more right. Dylan? It's good to have you back. Before we go, news on the Development Academy. The senior sides return to duties this weekend. 18s, 19s, 16s, 17s, and 15s are all in Texas to face FC Dallas on Saturday and Solar Soccer Club on Sunday. For the 14s, a three-game weekend beckons. They head west to California, playing San Jose Earthquake Saturday and both L.A. United Football Academy and L.A. Galaxy on Sunday. It's a similar story for the U-13s, though their games in California begin on Friday with matches against Portland Timbers and then Washington Premier FC. They play a third game on Saturday against their LA Galaxy counterparts. Keep across ColoradoRapids.com as well as Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for all the latest news from your club, the Colorado Rapids. We'll be back next week, I promise. But until then, this podcast comes to a merciful end. Thanks for listening. And goodbye.
The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.